it's time to join Chris and Rob in the wacky world of telephone harassment for celebrity answering machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's celebrity answering machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for celebrity answering machines.
See what we can get, huh?
I'm going to try to call Jerry Seinfeld. Maybe you've seen his show on NBC.
I've seen his commercials, his credit card commercials.
Are they any good?
No, they're terrible.
Are they funny?
No. You know, I never liked his stand-up either, but I like his TV show.
What's wrong with his stand-up? His TV show is based on his stand-up.
No, his TV show is funny. His stand-up was just annoying. Did you ever notice why, like, you know, your socks came in twos? Why is that? It sucks.
All right, nobody's home. Let's call his other number in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
What do you say?
Let's. Yes, let's. Go down to the crowd at home to catch a miss of crawfish.
Now we're calling Jerry Seinfeld's phone number in Los Angeles. Hello, is Jerry Seinfeld there?
Jerry Seinfeld is not here anymore.
He's not? Well, where did he go?
He went, I don't know, he has better things to do in life.
I guess he does. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're radio personalities from the Midwest, and we were trying to locate Jerry Seinfeld.
I know, everybody's calling me. He just used to have this number before, but now he's not here anymore.
Well, who are you?
I'm Tony.
Hey, Tony, you got your own TV show?
I got my own TV show, no.
If you did have your own TV show, what would it be called?
I know, Tony Baloney.
Tony Baloney, and who would be in it?
Who would be in it? Macaroni.
You're Caroni? What do you do for a living, Tony?
I do real estate development. Am I on the air now?
No, you're not on the air. We wouldn't put you on the air.
We might be taping this, and we might put it on the air at a later date. Would that be all right with you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, what kind of real estate deals?
I do real estate development. You know, I buy those apartment buildings, and then I turn them to a condo.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
A bad deal. So whatever happened to Jerry Seinfeld, anyway?
Jerry Seinfeld? I don't know. He's around. Funny enough, you know, I told the guy that called before, actually, my next-door neighbor, she's a writer on his show. So
really?
I'd be able to get, you know, to get...
So did Jerry leave the apartment?
No, Jerry didn't leave the apartment. Jerry just left the telephone number, and everybody's calling me. Is Jerry here?
So when Jerry was your roommate, was he a neat roommate?
It wasn't my roommate.
So when you and Jerry lived together... did he leave his stuff all over the bathroom?
Yeah, me, Jerry, and Shoshana, you know, we used to do the three.
So what does Jerry do now?
What is the deal with Jerry? He's like 50 and he's got a 12-year-old girlfriend.
I know.
Is that legal in America?
That's what I said. Well, when you get the money, well, you know, they don't care.
He's like 41. He's in his 40s, I think. And, you know, he saw his girlfriend for the first time. You know what she was wearing? A Catholic schoolgirl's outfit.
Uh-oh.
The plaid skirt and everything.
I'm a sucker for that every time.
Oh, man.
Can't blame Jerry one bit.
Lunchbox, probably. Huh?
Yeah, probably like
Hey, I know actually the other guy also that went out was there for a while. Wasn't another guy from Jerry Daly? They had actually a show on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she went out with another guy for a while. She left Jerry Seinfeld and then she went back to him.
Well, Jerry's got all the money.
You got some girls up here.
Yeah.
Well,
will you tell Jerry that we called?
I'll tell Jerry you called. I'll tell my neighbor that you guys keep looking for Jerry.
Yeah, will you tell your neighbor to tell Jerry that we called?
Okay.
I said, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Got it, guys.
Hey, so did Jerry really eat a lot of cereal when you lived with him?
Yeah, he liked a lot of cereal.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, guys.
Bye, Tony.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machines. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machines.
The dulcet golden tones of Andy McWilliams bringing you Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machines on this fine Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
That would make us the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Right here on 88.3 FM, the bottom of your dial. You can't go no lower than us, can you? Could you go any lower?
No, you sure couldn't. You know, everybody's talking about these poor little bitty bitty.
Everyone's talking about the Swedish chef
who had their phone conversation tape. Let me tell you something right now, buddy.
Tell me.
If you didn't in 1995, in the year of our Lord, 1995, if you did not know that every time he speak on a cordless phone, especially every time he speak on a cellular phone, that somebody was eavesdropping. You're just a sap. You're just an idiot. You're just a moron. And I say the airwaves belong to the people.
They do.
And if you want to broadcast across a cell phone, I should have the right to tape it. And if I tape it, I should be able to do whatever I want. I don't remember voting for this law that says you can't tape a cell phone. Did you vote for that law that says you can't tape a cell phone conversation, Chris?
I got a little piece of advice for you. Don't make any drug deals on your cordless phone, okay? You get in heapo big trouble.
Do you remember voting for the law that says you can't tape a cell phone conversation?
I don't even remember voting for any congressman that passed that law.
I don't remember voting for that law.
But I'll tell you, that's not the real issue at hand here. The real issue at hand here is somebody in Washington got a tape of a cellular phone conversation between Congressman Boehner and Newt Gingrich and some other Washington folk. But we can do them one better, can't we, boys?
You know it.
We've got our own boy, our own contact in Washington, D.C., with his own scanner and his own tape deck, and he's been following around somebody even bigger than Newt Gingrich.
You don't mean...
Yeah, I mean Slick Willie. We got somebody who's been taping Bill Clinton driving around in that presidential limousine, but we're not taping his cellular phone conversations.
Oh, no.
We're taping him at the Arby's drive-thru. Hey, get that tape going, will ya?
Hello, welcome to Arby's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like five barbecues for $5 with extra barbecue sauce. I'd like a lot of barbecue sauce. Is it coming in packets? Give me a bunch of them packets. And some napkins, too.
Bill, don't talk with your mouth full. Didn't I tell you to save that Milky Way bar for dessert? And order me a couple of those barbecue sandwiches, too, Bill.
You know, those barbecues go right to your thighs. Okay, make that 7 barbecue sandwiches. Can we get 7 sandwiches for $7? I am the president, you know.
All right, 7 barbecue sandwiches for $7. Would you like fries and a drink with your order?
Sure thing. Tell you what, let me get 2 orders of them curly pigtail fries and a couple more packets of barbecue sauce.
Bill, I want some fries, too.
Oh, okay, I'll make that 3 orders of curly pigtail fries.
Is that all, sir?
Can I get a Caesar salad?
We don't have Caesar salad at Arby's at the establishment, sir.
Upon my honor, no Caesar salad, huh? Well, just give me another barbecue with extra barbecue sauce and a large chocolate shake.
I want a chocolate shake also, Bill.
Okay, it's 2 chocolate shakes, 1 with barbecue sauce, 1 without.
Would you like to try a hot apple pie today?
Oh, no thanks. Dinner's coming up in an hour or two, and I want to spoil my appetite.
The total is $14.89. Now please pull out to the first window.
Gotta be $15, Hill.
No, I paid last time. Oh, Bill, it's your turn to pay. Time. No, it's your turn to pay. I paid last time.
Who's driving today? You got any money up there?
That's the tape we got there from Washington, D.C., Bill Clinton going through the Arby's drive-thru. If you've got any of your neighbors, friends, or political representatives there in Washington on cassette tape from your scanner, give us a call here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show at 749-1444. We're open for your phone calls at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 7491-444.
From now on, just call me the man of a million voices.
Yeah, the man of a million voices, Rob Irvin, on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The man of a million voices.
You gotta start making them scripts in triplicate, man.
And all my voices sound the same.
We'll be right back here on the Chris and Rob Show, 749-1444.
From the coffee, I drop my newspaper down. Let my eyeballs to read about some other town. Blueberry flew in a message at breakfast was nice. But when you shoot your mouth off, it's better to pay the price. She's a tangerine, made in California. She's a soda. Just a little haiku to say how much I like you. Stop and set the
Buffalo Tom, right?
Oh, you're on the back salad.
Yeah, back salad.
Buffalo Tom with Tangerine on WAIF. You can't go nowhere. From the latest CD, Sleepy Eyed, for the Amherst, Massachusetts trio. It's 12:18 on a Wednesday morning. How you doing? We're rolling commercial free for the next 74 minutes. WAIF.
Well, if you think about it, we're on WAIF. We're going to be rolling commercial free for the next decade or so. Because this station carries no commercials. We are Public Radio Cincinnati. We are the voice of the people, the voice of everyone.
Yeah, but all the summer programmers that they get at WAIF, they always make a big point to say, we're rolling commercial-free for the next 2 hours as I play my sister's record collection.
Well, that's what we're doing here. We're rolling commercial-free, and I want to tell you about a guy who won a contest. Bob Ives. He won a turkey for Thanksgiving, or maybe for Christmas.
You know, as I was going to Bob Ives,
he won a big turkey.
I met a man with seven wives.
Did you?
Bob Ives. Wife had seven sacks.
And?
Every sack had seven cats.
Really?
And every cat had seven kittens. Cat sacks, kittens, wives. How many were going to see Bob Ives?
I don't know how many.
One. They were coming from his house. I was going there.
So Bob Ives won a best guess contest. How many peanuts were in a big glass jar? Perhaps you've played a game like that at your office, maybe with M&Ms or something. But fundraiser, and the guy lives in Connecticut, and according to the report here, he guessed 603 nuts. You know how many nuts were in the jar?
How many?
604.
But actually, peanuts are not nuts, but we'll look over that.
Okay. He got 603 out of 604 peanuts in a jar, and did you know what? He's blind.
Holy cow. Did you pick it up and shake it?
I don't know.
They probably gave him shakies.
Well, there was a quote. Shakies. There was a quote on the AP Wire report that said, I could just feel how many were in there.
I bet his dog helped him.
And I can just feel that 749-1444 has exploded with Bull calling from Clifton. Hello, Bull.
What's up, you knuckleheads?
What's up, you knucklehead?
Hey.
Nothing much.
Long time no hear.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys still were doing this.
I thought your name was Gene.
No, you gotta be
confused. It's Bull.
Oh, it's Bull.
So what's on your mind tonight, Bull?
I didn't know you were on the lamb again.
Yeah, I'm on the lamb. Bring me up to speed on this phone call. What was being said on that thing? I heard about it, but I didn't hear what
it was in a newspaper today, dude. Don't you get up in the morning, pour yourself a big hot cup of Joe, go down to your local breakfast establishment, get yourself one of those greasy breakfast sandwiches with bacon and sausage on it and read the paper?
No, I don't get a chance to read the paper
anymore. Basically, it was just Newt and some of his stooges, lapdogs, flunkies.
Newt Gingrich.
Like John Boehner. Plotting strategy on what they were going to do, how they were going to handle the issue, what they were going to present to the ethics committee, yada, yada, yada. No real revelations on the tape.
So just garbage.
Basically just political crapola, you know, his defense. Even though supposedly, you know, he said he's going to come clean, but he's having this big high-level discussion on strategy when we all thought his strategy was come clean, but that wasn't really a strategy. His strategy was this is the spin we want to put on it.
So basically nothing was being said, and it's only because these morons taped it.
Exactly.
So it's a non-issue, basically.
Right, and the Republicans, it seems to me, are trying to use it to get attention away from Newt. I mean, Boehner's in the paper saying that the congressman who turned it over to the New York Times, they think maybe McDermott did it. They're saying that Congressman McDermott committed a felony. Boehner said McDermott committed a felony in the paper. It's no felony turning over a tape that somebody made off a cell phone. Making the tape is a felony, but if you turn it over to the Ethics Committee or the New York Times after someone gives it to you, that's no felony, not by long stretch. But yet there's John Boehner's quote in the paper, these right-wing rags that pass for newspapers around in this country, that says, whoever passed it on to the New York Times committed a felony. Well, no, he didn't, and they never called him on it. They just let Boehner get his even tanned mug in the paper again with that some inflammatory quote right next to it.
Well, I think the bigger issue on this thing here is we got everybody all riled up and everybody's talking about this phone call deal when we all just agreed it doesn't mean a damn thing when, you know, we got other stuff. Who cares whether this chick saw Clinton's pecker or whatever, you know, who gives a damn about that? It's diverting our attentions from other stuff that we could be concerned with.
Come on, we're not supposed to concentrate on the real problems, Bull. We're supposed to be concentrating on politics. It's a big horse race. We're not supposed to actually improve the country or make strides to solving some of the social and economic ills that this country suffers from. We're just supposed to treat it like a big horse race. Who scored points this week? Who's hot? Who's not? Who's in? Who's out?
You made good sense on that little tirade there. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, but what about the tape that they made of Bill Clinton going through Arby's drive-thru? I thought that was totally unethical.
It's just another case, you know. It's TV, the media.
It's all just sleaze, and it's just all sleaze. You know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with reality. It's just a game. It's just a big Washington game.
The only good stuff on TV
is... It's like, who's the leading scorer in the NBA, you know, or who has the best batting average in the Major League Baseball, or... You know, who has the best-looking painting there in the mega, you know, in the New York Art Museum or something? You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's competition. You know, who's going to be the top dog in the D.C.?
Now, like I said, the only good thing on TV is cartoons and sports.
Right on. Right freaking on. I'm with you all the way. And on that note, I'll tell you, Skip's going all the way. I think you can look for the Muskies in the Final Four, and I'll talk to you later.
You guys take it easy.
You too.
It's good to hear from Bull again. We haven't heard from him in, probably about a year.
It's been a while.
It's a Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444 is the phone number.
And remember that cute little Yugoslavian skater, or wherever she's from, Oksana Bajul?
Oh, who could forget Oksana Bajul?
She's so adorable, and she can skate really good. She's even better than Nancy Kerrigan, and she doesn't have to smash anybody's knees. But you know what? She's a big boozer.
She's not a big boozer.
She got a DUI, and she's only 19 years old. And she shouldn't even be drinking yet. I don't know if she should even be driving a car yet, but she's allowed to. And she blew .168 the other day, Sunday. There was an accident. She got in an accident. You'd think a good skater like that could drive a car, too, wouldn't you?
You would think. Shall we talk to Nitwit?
Hello, Nitwit. You're on the air.
You know what?
What?
I love to listen to your show at night.
Well, we love to have you call us at night.
Because the music that you play is reconditioning my mind for a retirement in the 21st century.
You're going to retire in the 21st century?
I'm going to go to one of those psychedelic insane asylums for the baby boomer retirement centers.
Yeah?
And we'll be listening to this kind of music, so I listen to you because you're reconditioning my mind.
Well, do you drop acid while you listen to us, or maybe eat some heroin, or put something on your tongue, or shoot something in your arm, or anything like that?
How about that, baby? That'll come with the territory. I'll have a nurse do that.
Oh, what are you smoking right now, Nitwit?
Nothing.
Nothing? You drinking anything? You imbibing?
No.
What are you taking into your body to alter your state of consciousness tonight, Nitwit?
Oh, baby, now you're talking retirement in the 21st century. Unchain your mind, alter your mind. You know what I'm talking about? That's what the nurses would do to you.
Really?
In my little psychedelic insane asylum.
In my little psychedelic insane asylum, the nurses are doing something completely different. But we won't digress into that right now. What's on your mind tonight, Nitwit?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that y'all aren't sitting over there with tattoos all over your body.
No, I don't have any tattoos. How about you, Rob? Do you have any tattoos?
I know Newt Gingrich probably does.
Newt Gingrich has a tattoo of
He's
what?
He's got them all over his body.
You think he does?
Beneath the suit, baby.
Have you seen him naked?
That's what turned the women on to it.
You saw the Newt spread in Playgirl magazine, didn't you?
Well, I think he should do a centerfold. He's done everything else.
You think so?
You know what those guys are?
What are those?
Those guys are nothing but gimmick goons.
Are they boss hog politicians?
Yes.
Nitwit,
what?
If you were to get a tattoo, what kind of tattoo would you get?
I'd get a picture. I'd probably put a picture of Bill Clinton on my butt, and then I'd let somebody take a pen and just stick it right
but
there.
But you know, in another 4 years or 3.5 years or whatever, Bill Clinton is not going to be our president anymore, and then you're going to have to what? Get a picture of Al Gore on your butt?
Something like
and
that.
And getting those things removed, I've heard, is a pain in the ass, pardon the pun. So, you know, I don't think you want to have it removed, right?
Well,
so what are you going to do in 4 years?
Well, what you just keep doing.
I mean, if you're going to get a tattoo of a famous celebrity on your body, don't get the tattoo of a politician or somebody who's not going to be in the public eye in another 4 years or whatever, but get a tattoo of someone who's timeless. Maybe someone who spreads joy and laughter all over the world. Maybe someone who makes young children laugh and old women weep.
If you say
maybe
Jerry Lewis, you're going out on
your ear. I thought I told you last week. I am so sick of this Jerry Lewis crap.
You're going to get a tattoo.
What is all this Jerry Lewis stuff? You always, you always want to bring
on Jerry
Lewis.
This guy wants to get a tattoo of his... Why not Jerry?
Nobody wants to Jerry Lewis? Give me a break. Jerry Lewis is nowhere. He's never funny. He's not funny now. He never was funny.
Rob.
He's kind of good for like the little campy appeal like, oh my God, I can't believe my parents laughed at this.
Jerry's the king of comedy.
Jerry is a goofball.
He's the king of
comedy.
He's
a self-loathing jerk.
What
he
are
was
you talking
never
about?
Funny.
What are you talking about?
He was a second-rate physical comedian and a tenth-rate
Remember
verbal
when
comedian.
He went, Remember that?
It was never a bit funny. Making fun of retards is not funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, Nitwich is called.
Going
hey, the phone lines are open at 749-1444. Please give us a jingle jangle immediately. 7491-444 is the number. And what's next on our agenda, Robbie?
Jerry Lewis is funny. If you're retarded.
Oh, if you're retarded, he's actually kind of offensive.
It's because his whole act was making fun of the differently abled. Tri-State Harvest is a nonprofit organization which is now celebrating its fifth year anniversary. They tackle the problem of hunger by bringing nutritious food to the area's community centers. Cash donations are not solicited, only donated food, time, and materials. To donate or to become a volunteer, call 281-FOOD, 281-FOOD to volunteer for Tri-State Harvest.
Chris and Rob, late night talk show. I'm Chris and he's Rob, and that's who we are. Do we need to tell the listening public any more about ourselves than that? Or should
no,
we just leave it at
it.
That and let it remain a bit enigmatic? Talking about drugs a minute ago, I want to tell you about a guy who came up with a very clever way of smuggling cocaine.
You know,
and I got this out of a trade journal called Plastics News.
You know the people out there in Radio Land and the great tri-state Southwestern Ohio, Southeastern Indiana, Northern Kentucky area. I want to mark this date down. I believe it's January 15th because this is one of the few days that you'll hear Chris and Rob talk about drugs.
Some man was guilty, Maynard H. Gilbert, whose plastics processing abilities lend a whole new meaning to the term insert molding. Now, if you're new to the plastics world, insert molding is like taking a piece of plastic and inserting it inside of a bigger piece of plastic.
So
like
you're not
done
a nerd.
With toys and things. Maybe you'll see toys that have one color or type of plastic molded on the inside of another piece. Now, they don't like wrap the plastic around it, but it's melted and inserted that way. Now, there's this guy... Maynard Gilbert of Blue Springs, Montana, who pled guilty last month to smuggling in cocaine from Bolivia by molding it into the middle of various plastic products. Briefcases, hard-sided luggage, bathtubs, hot tubs, and shower stalls. So kids, when you get home tonight, or if you're already at home and you're taking a bath, get a big old Jimmy knife or something and stick it into the side of that plastic bathtub there and see what's on the inside. No, not really. If this guy had cocaine inside of one of his bathtubs he molded it, he would have... removed the cocaine and sold it on the street. The cocaine that they seized him with had a street value of about $250,000.
Check it out.
That's certainly a lot better than like putting cocaine into a rubber and swallowing.
Urban myth. You know, you hear guys talking about that. It's always, you know, hey man, I read to some penthouse. There's these guys from Columbia. And he's always like, hey, I know a guy who did that. And he'll have some kind of far-fetched. He like triple bagged it, you know. And that way, the condom wouldn't explode in the stomach, because, like, if the condom explodes in your stomach, you die instantly. It's like a blow to the back of the head or something. You die right away.
Crazy.
Urban myth. I don't believe guys do that. Do you think that ever happened?
There are more creative ways. There are more creative ways of smuggling coke than you've ever thought of.
You know, one of the things that's really been bugging us lately is the old teen curfew. We like to think the teenagers in Cincinnati can run wild. They can be like Triumph. We're wild. We're young and we're free. We've got the magic power and the freedom of me. And one guy who agrees with us that the curfew is a bad idea is a cat over there in Price Hill.
Tim Wesseling.
Tim Wesseling of Price Hill.
Now, Tim wrote a letter to the editor that you might see in today's Enquirer. It says, and it starts off by saying, I am a 17-year-old who has lived in Price Hill all my life. I read to the letter to the editor last week about a teen curfew. Does not infringe on teens' rights. And this guy... Tim Wesseling from Price Hill contends that it is an invasion of kids' rights. Hello, Tim.
Yes.
You there?
Yeah.
Kids have rights? How old are you?
17.
Supposedly, kids don't have rights yet, do they?
Nope. Doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look like it? Are you saying the kids should have rights?
They should.
But you're a kid, dude. And we're adults, and kids in an adult world take orders from adults.
Yep.
Yeah? Evidently, you got pulled over by a cop a couple of weeks ago at 1 o'clock in the morning for walking around the corner of your house to a local restaurant.
Yep.
Explain.
Well, I was just walking up there around 1 o'clock just to get something to eat. I was coming home, cop pulled me over, and he's like, how old are you? I was like, 17. He's like, you know you're not supposed to be out this late. I was like, oh, I must have forgotten. Then he's like, this doesn't happen again, does it? And I was like, I guess not.
He didn't take you to the center and make you play basketball and do macrame and play Chinese checkers with all the other mongoloids?
No.
Well, let me ask you something, Tim. Turn your radio down there, buddy. Tim, you there?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. You walk outside, you go around the corner to a local restaurant. Let me guess, it's either a burger establishment for hamburgers or you get chili there or something. We're not going to advertise for them, but let's say you get yourself a Coney or something. You're walking home with a Coney, and a cop sees you, and you say, look, there's my house, there's my restaurant. You say it in a very polite manner to a cop, by the way, sir.
Yes, that's what I did.
Were you very polite to him?
Yes.
You weren't uppity?
I was.
You didn't swear or anything?
No.
Okay, good. And then when he saw that you were just walking around the corner to get a sandwich, 200 yards from your front door, you claim?
Yes.
Didn't he say, okay, it's cool?
No.
What did he do, write you a ticket or something?
No, he just gave me a warning. He's like, this doesn't happen again, does it? And I was like, I guess not.
So you got a warning and you're all bent out of shape? In other words, he let you off and you're all bent out of shape?
Yes.
It's the principle of the matter, though, Chris. Maybe the next kid he wouldn't let off. Maybe the next kid he would take him to the detention center and make them play basketball and backgammon until their parents came and got them. Yep. Just because a few teenage kids want to go out late night being ne'er-do-wells, painting on signs and mugging old ladies, don't make it illegal for law-abiding, God-fearing kids like Tim Westerling of Price Hill to walk down the street to get a hot dog. Are you with me, Tim?
Yeah.
What are the other kids in your school? What school do you go to?
Elder.
Yeah. What do the other kids at Elder think about the curfew?
I think they're against it, but they don't want to do anything about it.
Do you think the crime has gone down because of the curfew?
Probably not much.
But I tell you what, you know, the thing is, you can tell Phil Heimlich and these other bully boys this. You know, if you make everybody stay off the street after 7 o'clock, if you make it illegal for anybody to ever leave their house, you know what? I bet crime would go way down.
Yeah.
Good night, Rob.
I gave you the phone.
Say good night to him, Tim.
Oh, man, it's kind of dusty down here.
It is. We need to clean these studios
up. Plus, I got black ink all over myself.
Okay, Tim, so you're saying you can never go over to the chili parlor around the corner and get dinner now after midnight ever again, can you?
No, I can't.
When do you turn 18?
In July.
Well, in July, you can go get chili again, and then it'll be warm out, and you won't have to wear a coat when you walk across the street to get your chili.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Tim Westerling in Price Hill, who had his rights infringed, even though he's 17 years old, getting some chili around.
You think about it, though, dude. You think about it. It wasn't that long ago that you had to be 21 to vote. They were drafting people, sending them to Vietnam before those people could vote. That's heavy, man. That's very heavy.
We've come a long way, baby.
Have we come that far? Now, you know, Tim.
It wasn't that long ago that in the state of Ohio, if you were 18 years old, you could go buy a beer.
Well, okay, say, you know, the balloon goes up next week. All hell breaks loose. War breaks out all over. I, of course, would be exempt from the draft due to my status as a resident genius plus the father of 18 children.
Right.
I would be exempt from the draft. You two, Jim, Chris, you would go immediately, being ne'er-do-wells the government would rather get rid of anyway. But say something like that happens, the Afghanistanis start dropping A-bombs all over the country. There's a war. Tim Westerling, as a young, virile punk from Price Hill, would get drafted as soon as he turned 18, and that would be 3 years before he could buy a brouhaha. There's still some major, major discrepancies in this country. It seems to me, and I'm just me, I'm just Rob, but if you're an adult, you're an adult. What's this two-stage adulthood crapola? If you're 18, if you're an adult, you can vote, you can drive, you should be able to buy a brew hammer if you need one.
You should be able to go see nudie girl dancers if you want to.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a minute. Nudie girl dancers?
I'm saying if you're an adult, you're an adult. What? I mean, what, you're 20, so you're old enough.
Now you're dragging the perverts into this.
That has nothing to do with perverts.
Let's keep this argument pervert-free for the time being.
You know, it has nothing to do with perverts. It has everything to do with rights. At 18, you become an adult. You can
but
vote.
What about this guy? He's 17 years old, and he wants to go get a coney.
He should be able to go get a stinking coney. Like he said, he pays taxes. He probably has a part-time job at Kmart or McDonald's or something. He pays taxes to fill the potholes, to redo the sidewalks. He should be able to walk on those sidewalks whenever he bloody well pleases.
Right on. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, standing up for the rights of all young and old Americans, male and female, black and white, normal and insane.
You know, this two-stage adulthood stuff, it's just boss hog politics.
It is.
That's all it is.
This next song goes out to my friend the Nitwit. This song is called Stoned. Red Cross. Welcome back to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Rob is sitting to my right. And I'm Chris.
You know what I like?
What do you like?
I like plants, but I hate the fact that plants can be dirty and bring in bugs.
Well, the other day I was at one of these local fast food establishments. The other day, eating me a greasy old cheeseburger or something, and I look up, and by the salad bar there on top of the salad bar, they had three or four begonias or something, like really, you know, little plants. Then I went, I'm like, wait, this isn't real air. So I walked over to those plants to see if they were real or not, to see if they were photosynthesizing to provide clean air for me to breathe while I was eating my lunch. And I looked up and I felt the leaf, and you know what? I didn't just feel the leaf, it was a felt leaf. It was felt. It was like a pool table. And you know, you could get all environmental about it and say, you know, you gotta have real plants. You could have be aesthetic about it and say, you know, real plants just look nicer. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Wow. Neither of those arguments wash. Frankly, I was offended. I was offended. Who do these people think they are fooling me with these fake plants? And I'm not just talking about the local fast food establishment, but I'm also talking about all these companies that make them. I mean, like any other product, you have well-made fake plants, and you have cheap, chintzy fake plants. You have the kind that you notice right away. You're like, oh, that one's made out of paper. And then you have other ones where you got to walk up to them and feel them and, you know, poke around on them a little bit before you can tell if they're real or not, because they're made with, like, some kind of rubberized plastic or something. They have real little veiny things inside of them, like real plants got. But you know what? I can tell the difference, and I'm offended. If you have a problem with fake plants, give us a call at 749-1444. We need to rid the world of fake plants because they suck. They just suck. Dude, they don't make real air, and aesthetically, they just don't look good. They just don't look like real plants. Have you ever walked into the lobby of a hotel? A nice hotel, a swanky joint, and you look around, and there's like begonias everywhere you look, and all kinds of plants you can't pronounce, and you're like, this is nice. Then you walk into, like, you know, the Motel 6 or something, and they got one of them chintzy little fake plants there, and you're like, no, uh-uh, come on, give me a break. Give me a real begonia any day over a piece of sanitized rubber.
And because you don't have to water them, people just usually neglect them. They never dust them.
Laziness, man, it's just laziness.
Hanging off them.
Cut me some slack.
I like I'm fake looking right plants. For you. I enjoy, you don't need dirt, which is dirty. They don't attract bugs, which are buggy. They are handsome. They are attractive. They last a long time. You don't need to water them. You don't need to feed them.
See, you're a member of that lazy generation yourself. The part of owning a plant, just like owning a doggy or a puppy or having a child of your own, is taking the responsibility upon yourself to care for that plant and nurture it to adulthood so that it can be the best plant
Listen.
That it can be.
Rockhead. Can I explain a little something to you real quick one time?
If you can.
Okay. I like dogs.
Woof woof.
I like cats.
Meow meow.
You know what else I own though?
What else do you own?
I own replicas of dogs and cats.
Yeah, well,
sometimes I have a stuffed animal.
In the back seat of your car, in your back window. Didn't you used to have one of those little doggies?
I have a bobblehead dog.
That used to bobble up and down?
Does that mean that I don't like real dogs? No. It was just at different situations call for different measures. Would it have been I'm gonna do it.
I'll tell you the first time I saw that bobblehead dog in the back of your car, I'm like,
you laughed
Rob,
for 10
I'm
minutes.
Like, what is going on? That's even worse than having one of those little Garfields in your window going,
Alright, I'm gonna do a real inside impression here.
Okay, you do that.
Did I have a bobblehead dog in the back of my car? Sure. Does having a bobblehead dog in the back of your car mean you don't like real dogs?
No.
Can you like both bobblehead dogs and real dogs? Of course you can. If you have a real dog, does it then mean you can't have a bobblehead dog?
No.
You can have both. I have stuffed cats, you know, like stuffed animal cats, or a plastic ceramic cat.
You don't have a Garfield, do you?
Uh-uh.
Those are stupid.
And I also, you once upon a time had a real cat. You can have both, dude. So you can have a real plant that needs nurturing, the love, the care, the joy that comes with owning a real-life plant. And certain situations call for fake plants. Those can be handy as well. So I'm saying a blanket statement like, let's get rid of plastic plants, is insane. Sure, real plants are nicer and better, just like a real doggy is nicer than a fake bobblehead doggy. But I think it might have been a little bit cruel and unusual to stick a fake doggy, staple his paws to my back dash. What do you call your back dash? Yeah, what do you call back dash? We'll call it the back dashboard.
It would have been cruel to take a real dog. He stapled his paws to my back dashboard and rearranged his neck bones in such a way that every time I hit a bump, his head went up and down.
I'm with you. I wouldn't do that either.
Well,
but, you know, it's another thing, too, to take a fake plant and stick it in a, you know, some kind of a, an eating establishment or a hotel lobby or anything for that matter, your grandma's living room, and trying to pass it off as real.
Listen,
I'm
Chris,
not fooled, Mr. Restaurant Proprietor.
You go into Wendy's or McDonald's or Taco Bell or wherever the hell you're at, and the cheese isn't real. They have plastic cheese. What in the world makes you think they're going to have real plants?
Talking about those plastic milkshakes too, that vanilla milkshake that tastes like it came out of a plastic injection molding machine?
Exactly.
I guess you got a point with that one, and on that one I'll let it drop. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444 is the phone number.
You know, I don't want to tell you where I was at because everybody would think I'm then a nerd.
Where were you at?
I'm not going to tell you.
But no, come on.
But I was at this really geeky, bad, awful place. It's close to one of my friend's house.
What, like a bar or something?
Yeah, and he said...
You were at Cooters?
Let's go there and
you
watch
were at Cooters, weren't you?
The football game on Sunday. So we had done this three or four times, watched the Bengals throughout the season. And you'd go there, and happy hours on Sunday afternoon would start at 1, which meant you got a big, giant draft beer for a buck, and you got appetizers half price, which isn't bad at all. So anyway, we come strolling in there on this playoff weekend, and we say, it's like quarter after 12, and we're like, to the maitre d', we say, hey. When's those happy hour prices start? Is it still 1 o'clock? Because we hadn't been there in about a month. And the maitre d' said, oh, we don't do that anymore on the Sundays. So we were like, oh, bummer. But we stuck around anyway. And then we went and sat down, and the waitress came over, and we were going to order. She said, tell you what, fellas, why don't you wait till 1 o'clock when happy hour starts and everything will be cheaper? And me and my one friend said, great, terrific idea. We'll wait till 1. My other friend pipes up with a brilliant comment. Oh, really? We were told by the maitre d' that you people don't have cheap prices for happy hours on Sundays anymore. The maitre d' told us that you quit doing that. So then our waitress says, oh, well, I better go check on that then.
Duh.
I couldn't believe it. I was kicking the guy under the table. I was like, shut up. Shut up. No, he blew it. He blew it for everybody. He ruined it. He felt so bad.
If this was the Andy Griffith of the show, I'd be saying, gaw.
You know, we made him feel bad, but I didn't feel bad about making him feel bad because,
man,
I couldn't believe he did that. That was a heartbreaker. We had our sights set on big, giant $1
I would have bitch slapped him myself. I would have sucker punched him. When he wasn't looking, I'd have been like, kapow.
All the maitre d' told us that you don't have happy hours anymore, so we're supposed to play full price.
You know, you almost mentioned the surprise, football playoffs surprise, there, and I wanted surprise to mention something about one of my second favorite NFL team, the Green Bay Packers. And why are they my second favorite NFL team? Not because of their nifty uniforms.
Who's your favorite?
The home team.
Homer.
I like the Green Bay Packers because they are owned by the people and citizens of Green Bay, Wisconsin. They're partially owned by the city and they're partially owned by stockholders. They're a public-owned corporation. And above all, they are now proving to us that not only can you be publicly owned and owned by your own city and not owned by some rich mogul from somewhere that also owns, you know, TV companies or
Blockbuster Video.
But they're also proving that you can come from an extremely small market, the smallest market in organized sports, and still go to the Super Bowl and probably win it. They're going to win it this weekend. Probably. Or is it next weekend?
Next weekend.
They're going to win the game, and they're coming from the smallest market in Major League sports.
I believe Green Bay is a community of, what, like 90,000? No, not even that. It's like 60. I think Green Bay is less than Hamilton.
Listen,
I think Green Bay is smaller than Hamilton.
If the city leaders of the fine city of Cincinnati and the fine county of Hamilton are out there right now listening to your radio and listening to the dulcet tones of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, listen up, folks. Benninghouse, Roxy Qualls, if you're out there. Heimlich, Joe Dieters, all of you, listen up. Buy the teams. Don't let Marge and Mike Brown own them anymore. When they're up for sale, let's buy them.
You know, everybody in Cincinnati, if you put shares up for like 100 bones, everybody everywhere would buy a piece of the Reds for 100 bones just to say they're part owner of the Reds.
This seat license thing, man, it's a scam. We all know it's a scam. But let's buy the damn team. Then, you know, what, are we going to move? Hey, let's move the whole city to Cleveland.
No, then you got to have a stockholders meeting, and since all the stockholders live around here, they would never move it.
And, you know, are you gonna raise the taxes to build another stadium? No. It's owned by the city. Who cares? Hello, Jay. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Great. Listen, I got a little plan story to pass along to you. When I first moved down here, I was working for a guy opening a club, and he wanted to put real plants in his club.
Bad mistake.
Yeah, well, we couldn't tell him that. We tried to tell him that, but it couldn't happen. So he spent, like, I don't know, close to $1,000 on real live plants.
Uh-huh.
And then for about a month, he had some guy in there trying to keep them alive, but they just died because they never got any sunlight.
Oh, they had a smoky bar?
Yeah, it was real smoky. It had the fake fog machines and all that kind
of
stuff.
Sounds like it's one of those industrial dance clubs, but what if you're like Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers or Taco Bell, and you got windows on three or four sides of you for all your tables, and you got windows everywhere?
Yeah, but like Rob was saying, I mean, they got all the fake stuff in there anyway. Got the fake cheese and the fake tomatoes.
Yeah, fine.
I took
that point and I gave that one to him. But I'm still saying, if you're in like Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers and you got windows all around you and you got a salad bar with real lettuce on it, you can afford to put a couple of real plants on top of that salad bar.
Yeah, but then you get flies and stuff.
Well, you don't get any flies.
You get like those plant flies.
You get aphids.
Whatever
fruit flies.
Are you afraid
but
the
anyway,
aphids
I mean,
are going to...
You didn't know it anyway, so you went back up there. It must have looked like a pretty real plant.
I could tell from half a room away that they were fake plants.
Well, you said that they looked pretty good.
No, they didn't. They were made out of felt.
Well, some of them look pretty good.
There's some that are made to look better than others. That's true.
The thing about a plant in a bar is you'll have guys dropping cigarette butts, you know, leaking in them. I mean, a live plant in a smoky... disco-type place.
It wasn't a good idea. I mean, eventually you use plastic ones.
And the upkeep, I mean, there are companies that make quite a bit of money simply by providing plant service to office buildings.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, I mean, real plants are definitely way better than fake ones anytime, but, you know, some people just like fake ones, I guess.
If you have your druthers, if you're going to put one way up high, in which putting in a Job's plant spike or pruning the daggone thing would be an extreme pain in the butt, go ahead and slap a plastic one up there way up high. Nobody will know.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll look terrific.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's all I got.
Everything has its place, Jay. I'm glad you agree.
I agree, 100%.
All right. Later.
Later.
It's Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris and he's Rob, and the phone number is
749-1444.